I think something like this. During their own campaigns, they heard from various constituencies throughout the city that they had concerns about this ordinance. And in order to address those concerns, they're voting to extend the ordinance to have conversations with communities who've already expressed their concern with the ordinance. So I guess I'm not understanding how one gets from that beginning to that conclusion. And I guess I'm not understanding why we wouldn't agree with those who have testified. Those kinds of conversations, of course, are appropriate and, if not productive, but why not let the ordinance expire and have those conversations and come back? So in the past, we've had this same kind of debate, only not specifically on this issue, and I found myself in the same position I do now. While I don't always please everybody in the positions I take, I think I am very consistent, and I have been very consistent on these kinds of issues since arriving on the council. I voted against each and every prostitution and drug-free zone reauthorization, and I would listen to the debates as we were having, for instance, here today. One side would vehemently argue it was unconstitutional, and another side, usually the neighborhood, would argue, but it's a tool that helps us keep our neighborhoods safe. And I didn't necessarily agree with either side and voted against them because they don't work. When you tell somebody because you think they're doing drugs or they're a prostitute, you can't be in this neighborhood anymore, does anybody think they actually quit dealing drugs or quit being a prostitute? They go to another neighborhood. The same with this issue. I mean, if you tell somebody to move along that is sitting downtown and there is no place for them to go, do they just evaporate? Do they vanish? Do they just no longer become a problem? Of course not. What happens in each of our offices when the police do a sweep, we start getting a call from the Brooklyn neighborhood. Hey, Randy, what have you guys done recently to have all the homeless folks in my neighborhood? I mean, it isn't that difficult of an issue to understand. Thus, when I arrived on the council, I spent time walking with police officers, riding with police officers, and interacting with people in the community that, frankly, most people find distasteful. Prostitutes, drug dealers, drug buyers, homeless people. So I could understand at a street cops level what it was they understood that I could possibly never understand working here where I do. And what I quickly concluded was it doesn't work to send people to jail with no alternative. It doesn't work. Jail is important. Don't get me wrong. Consequences, as I mentioned to Commissioner Fish earlier, are very important for improper behavior. I believe my strongest core belief is I respect individuals, and those that don't respect individuals, I think, should be held accountable. If you spit on somebody, or you touch them, or you push them, or you scare them, I have no sympathy for it. But having said that, we should give people choices. So we created, I brought forward to council, after working with service providers, Central City Concern, Sisters of the Road, police and the district attorney's office, a proposal known as what is now referred to as the service coordination team. And it marries up the police with the district attorney's office, with the probation officer, but also most importantly, I wouldn't have brought this forward if we also didn't marry up mental health services, drug treatment, alcohol treatment, folks that provided housing, because you can't just go after people and put them in jail. You have to give them choices. And if you get, my experience has been when you give people choices, and sometimes it's an unpleasant choice because they're addicted to drugs or they won't take their medication for the mental illness, but that they know that they're going to go to jail or make a choice to improve their lives, they systematically improve their lives. The bottom line is that we have a dramatically reduced rate of alcoholism-related crimes downtown, drug-related crimes, drug dealing, because of that holistic approach. This is the same exact issue. I disagree with Commissioner Fish. This is precisely the same philosophical approach. You have to give places for people to be if you tell them to move along. You have to give them toilets to use. You have to give them services. You have to provide them places that they can address whatever it is the issue is that caused them to be homeless. And for us not to do that is short-sighted and ignoring our own dramatic successful history in dealing with what otherwise are intractable social issues. Issues that confound, these are not issues that are impossible to solve, but it takes a will, it takes faith, and it takes working together. And I'm very disappointed that we're going to vote next week on an approach here that ignores our success and treats people as though they aren't important enough to listen to. I've listened. I'm willing to do things that people don't like if I think it's the right thing. But I've heard what these folks have said here today. I agree with them. This is the wrong thing to do.
Other comments? I have a few comments I'd like to make. Because as people heard, we'll be voting on this next week, not today. So,
can you use the microphone, please?
Yes. Sorry. So first of all, I want to thank everybody who took time to testify today. I want to thank the people that came to the Sisters of the Road hearing that I attended. And I want to thank people who've come to the Safe Oversight Committee meetings that I've also attended and heard voices. I want to thank the Safe Oversight Committee, which I think has I think we can all agree here, regardless of our view on this issue, has a thankless job. And they've had a thankless job because there's been no clear champion, I think, consistently working with them. The issue is an issue that divides people, and the solutions are hard. But I think regardless of what you think of the report or the views expressed, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to the SAFE committee for the hard work they put into this. And the committee is composed of activists, of homeless activists, of people like the Oregon Law Center that frankly, when they're not serving on this committee, are sometimes in the habit of suing us, currently suing us on anti-camping, but also at the table trying to craft a safe ordinance that works. So I appreciate all the time and energy people are putting into this, and I appreciate the process of, for me, learning and becoming educated about it. And I take, you know, I listen, and whenever Randy Leonard says something, I tend to pay attention, not just because he's my friend, but it's because I frequently agree with him, and when I disagree with him, I work extra hard to make sure I'm clear in my mind as to why I disagree with him. And he's a passionate voice on this, and I'm just going to say that that on questions of how we treat the least among us, and particularly people experiencing poverty and homelessness, drug addiction, Randy's been a champion, and I appreciate his work. And I think, frankly, as he says, why are we doing this now? Why not just let it sunset? I guess I could say in response, anybody in this council could have brought a motion to repeal SAFE prior to today. The reason we're here today is because it had a sunset, and because the council chose to wait until this moment to have this conversation. I'm not aware of any prohibition on any member of this council having sought to repeal SAFE earlier and having this discussion earlier. But I will tell you why I am moved by the approach of my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, who I think has not just been a valued colleague on this council, but has given us a path through on some very tough issues. I am increasingly frustrated with the fact that we have hearings on very polarized issues in which people get up and get 3 minutes to give us their point of view, in which there's precious little time to engage people, and then we're asked to make a decision that has enormous consequences. And in my adult life, I have found that not to be a very compelling process to get to good outcomes. Frankly, it may be a function of growing older and becoming more humble, but I don't often feel I have the answer. And when I hear a good idea, I want to engage someone. Our process does not allow that to happen on some of the really dynamic issues of our time. So the proposal that allows us to take a little bit of breathing room and go out to the community, engage people, and as Commissioner Fritz said, have a conversation, to me is terribly important. I have changed my view on lots of issues when I've had a conversation with someone, and I hope that while people often disagree with where I come out, I hope they will give me the benefit of the fact that I actively engage people and seek them out and give them the respect of a hearing and a chance to explain their point of view. I think that Commissioner Fritz has given us a path to a better outcome, whatever that outcome is. And I have agreed to co-chair with her a community engagement process where we hear from lots of people. The Safe Oversight Committee had 17 different reservations about the current law, which they couched as recommendations. I'm chagrined that it is not a readily available document. I'm assuming, I won't be stealing Amanda's thunder, but I'm assuming she's going to announce that it can be found on her website. But there need to be multiple places where you can get electronic and hard copy. It's not acceptable that anyone has had difficulty finding this report, particularly because I know how much time and energy went into the preparation of this report. 17 specific recommendations for strengthening SAFE. And I, for one, would like to have comment on all 17 recommendations. I would like to know more about what the Oregon Law Center believes is necessary to have this continue to be constitutional. I would like to know more from the homeless advocates of what we need in the service side to maintain the essential balance in this ordinance. And I want to hear from the passionate critics of this if there's a better way to do it. So I am committing to going through an honest process of public engagement. But I'd be remiss if I didn't use this opportunity to just put the other cluster of issues on the table. This is a very important issue, and I thank you for being here today to testify. But there's a $6.7 million hole in our budget, which is the entire homeless continuum for this city, based on one-time-only funding, which, if this council can't craft a responsible budget that contains it, will put 2,000 people at risk. And I'm grateful that I have a mayor who has said that the social safety net at this time is a top priority of his and this city. At a time when the county and the state are cutting back across the board, this mayor has said it's a priority. And I'm grateful that my colleagues have at various times individually said first dollars go to housing our most vulnerable. But this doesn't happen just by accident. It happens because you continue to speak out and say this is where you want your tax dollars directed. And there's no magic formula that says at a time when we're being asked to cut 5% in our budgets and we have a significant hole in our overall budget that this mayor can find a way to fill a $6.7 million hole in housing. So I want to say to you, let's also work together on that issue. The Resource Access Center came up. The Resource Access Center has been studied, debated, approved by this council, modified, strengthened. It's going to be the most wonderful Resource Access Center ever, and it's also going to be the greenest building of its kind. That building is not going to be constructed unless we together make it happen. And a number of people alluded to the roadblocks in the way. There's some legal roadblocks. There's some political roadblocks. But there's no lack of will on this council to make it happen. And just because door number A and door number B have been closed to us, I'm convinced that we can find a door number C, and we need to work together to make that happen. And finally, of all the reforms and reorganizations that were announced by the mayor and the council in January, none is nearer and dearer to my heart than the effort to create a new Housing Bureau for the 21st century. And it was with some interest that I picked up a major daily newspaper not long ago and saw my picture along with a story that essentially blasted the idea of creating a new powerhouse bureau for housing. Well, I happen to think that housing deserves a first seat at the cabinet of the table of this city, and that having multiple providers in government doing the same thing is inefficient and gets us working across purposes. And so I'm grateful for the leadership of this council, and in particular the mayor, in saying we're going to have a new housing bureau for the 21st century. So as we debate this issue, and this issue is terribly important, and again, I deeply appreciate the passionate testimony of people here, and it will help inform what I do with Commissioner Fritz going forward as we engage the community in a conversation. Please do not overlook the fact that we have a budget crisis, which will put all of our gains at risk if we do not find the money, that if we do not build this resource access center.
Okay, this is council's opportunity to comment. We listened quietly to everyone who wanted to testify. Again, this is a chamber of discussion and debate, so let him finish.
We need to build a resource access center, which I like to think of as Project Homeless Connect 24/7, which will house 220 people and give us 1,000 people a day will have a chance to get services. And we need a new housing bureau. So help us accomplish those goals and give us the time to have a conversation with you and the broader community about SAFE. And I pledge to make it an honest and worthwhile conversation. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Before I started work in the office over there, I worked for 22 years in psychiatry in OHSU. So I've been helping people experiencing mental illness, experiencing homelessness for my entire time that I've lived in the city of Portland. It matters passionately to me. And funding for services for people who are homeless and people who are mentally ill has been top of my list of things to get done, even though I don't have responsibility for either of those bureau assignments. Here's what I've heard today in addition to the issues that I listed earlier. I heard that we need the Resource Access Center and that we need women's shelter downtown, that we need help for animals and for people experiencing foreclosures, that we need to use the previous information that we've learned on this and other issues and that all of us need to know what that is, that we need to engage families, that we need to address other sidewalk obstructions like hotels and sidewalk cafes and A-boards, and I call upon Mayor Adams, who's in charge of transportation, and Commissioner Leonard, who's in charge of development services, to work on those issues, and so that's part of the report that we'll bring back in September, too. I've learned that some police are seen as excellent and compassionate, and that there have been concerns of threats from the clean and safe officers. I've learned that half the counted benches are TriMets, and I want to know I want to verify that information. We had the discussion on criminal versus civil law versus accountability versus services. I heard an unspoken request to include the Commission on Disabilities, which is in my portfolio. I heard that Joe Rowe is interested in talking with Sandra McDonnell, and I was very pleased to hear that. I was disturbed to hear some of the hissing for folks that people disagreed with. And as we move forward with this discussion, we have to have a discussion with knowing that people cared enough to come today to say their piece. And that if you come to a meeting where we're going to talk about it, that we need to listen with each other and maybe disagree strongly, but let people have their say. I learned the word cattywampus, which I'm going to find out what it means. I've learned that a lot of people need more information about what services businesses are already providing and that that's not well known. I heard again the concern about the anti-camping ordinance and suggestions for how to address that. Heard about obstruction of traffic in comparison with obstruction of sidewalks, which is a new issue for me. The suggestion about street vending licenses and a consideration of a safe zone for artists selling stuff, which I think is very interesting. I heard about the hours of the day access centers and whether they're open on weekends, and so that we need to look into that. Heard an implication that maybe the churches could be involved in day access like St. Francis's, an appreciation for what the faith community does in providing services. Other sidewalk obstructions, including police on horses, and the suggestion of self-policing and what could be done in the community of people experiencing homelessness to help police and self-monitor some of the issues that others are concerned about. So why not let it just sunset? What then? I don't believe that there would be the same incentive for you to participate, for others to participate, for everybody to participate in our four-month extension. Maybe for you, but for the other folks who are involved in the conversation right now, with a deadline, I very much appreciated the comment from the person who said he was the biggest procrastinator. When you have a deadline, things happen. And Commissioner Fish noted that nothing happened until we had this particular deadline. And so by extending it with a new deadline and giving Commissioner Fish and me, who have not been engaged in this process, who have not, except as listening in the community, It gives us the opportunity to see if we can come up with better solutions. It gives us the opportunity to look at the constitutionality issues that have been raised. But above all, I believe that democracy in Portland is about public participation. It's about citizen participation, and it's about ongoing participation. It's about us making decisions collectively. And I've heard enough strong advocacy on both sides of this issue. Today, we had a few folks who came to talk in support of the ordinance. But I don't put my name as a co-sponsor on an ordinance unless I believe in my heart and in my head that it's the right thing to do. And I agonized over this issue. It's saying no to many people who I consider my friends that you came to talk and ask me today to extend this. It's actually changing my mind from what I thought I would do when I was campaigning last year. So it was a very difficult decision. When we got to the notion that we could do a short extension so that we could think about this, my heart said that was the right thing to do. And I realized that your hearts passionately disagree with that. But I, as a decision maker, I won't, on this decision, which is so important to me, I won't make this decision feeling like I'm rushed and that I don't have all the information that I need. And that's why I'm voting to support this extension.
So thank you all for your testimony today. Council item 518 moves to a second reading next week. Could you please read the title for council calendar item 519?
519, assess benefited properties for street improvements in the Southwest Nevada Street Local Improvement District.
Andrew, go ahead.
Good afternoon, council members. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. Before you is the final assessment ordinance for Southwest Nevada Street. The final assessment rate that's proposed is approximately 5% below the amount that was established at LID formation. We received one objection to final assessment, which is summarized in Exhibit E. The recommendation is to pass this ordinance to a second reading next week without amendment. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Council, have any questions on 519? All right, 519 moves to a second reading. Oh, is anyone here to testify on council calendar item 519? 519 moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for council calendar item 520?
There might have been, I'm sorry, a Marie Connorth on North Drummond. Did you want to testify to 519?
Marie? Nope. Okay. Can you please read the title for 520?
520, adopt a citywide strategy and guiding principles to further the Portland effort to deploy electric vehicles and work with regional partners to develop a network of charging stations for public use.
I want to thank the council for their consideration of this resolution today that establishes a partnership between the U.S. Department of Clean Cities program of the Oregon Department of Energy for a system of electrical vehicle charging stations and other infrastructure. This, once if approved by the City Council, will go and be presented to the Oregon Way governor's process, which reviews and evaluates proposals from around Oregon, for potential approval and then passed on to the federal government with the federal stimulus program for their consideration. This resolution does not require us to spend any money, but simply, as other local governments around the region have joined in, establishes this partnership and allows us to move forward to the state for making a bid for a competitive grant on electrical vehicle infrastructure system. Any discussion from council?
Mayor, is there any reason why we should oppose this ordinance?
I can't think of one.
Ready to vote.
Anyone wishes to testify on council calendar item 520? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Saltzman?
Sounds great. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Excellent work, Mayor Adams. Aye.
Thank you. Adams?
Thanks to Shoshana Oppenheim and Catherine Charlo and PG and Pacific Corp. Aye. Can you please read the title for council calendar item, Emergency Ordinance 521?
Authorized procurement per Section 5.33 of the City Code and contract with Precise Park Link for multi-space Stelio parking meter pay station repair parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Can you give us a quick overview regarding this emergency ordinance?
Yes, Mayor and Council members. Quick overview is this ordinance is to authorize a procurement and resulting contract for acquiring the pay station parts that we need to maintain the parking meters, the Stelio parking meters that we have.
This is a sole source contract because they're the only ones that sell the parts.
That is correct.
Okay. Council discussion?
I just have a quick question. How do we, when we're doing the sole source contract in the first place, do we think about, I'm assuming we do think about what further maintenance and ongoing parts contracts we're going to need to have?
With this particular manufacturer, it is all sole source because the parts are proprietary in nature, so we can only get them from one place for this particular meter.
So is that a factor when you're choosing the original sole source as to how much the parts and ongoing maintenance are going to be?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is. And the other pay station type that we have gives us a little more room that way.
So. Thank you.
For the council discussion, Carl, would you please, anyone wishes to testify on council item 521? Council, would you... Carly, will you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 521 is approved. Can you please read the title for regular agenda item 522?
Thank you.
Remove redundant and outdated language, fix organizational and grammatical errors, reconcile conflicting code provisions, increase program efficiency and effectiveness, and improve public comprehension to the Public Improvements Code.
Is there anything controversial in this?
I hope not. you'll remember we were here 3 weeks ago. Commissioner Fritz had pointed out a few items that we did actually fix, a couple outdated references to superintendents of parks, and a section that was modified by the auditor that lost some of the original intent about vacations going to the Planning Commission. So we have agreed on language with Commissioner Fritz's office, and that's what you see before you today.
Any discussion from council?
Is cattywampus in here anyway?
No. The process might be described.
Does anyone wish to testify on council calendar item 522? Does anyone wish to make any comments before I move it along? I get a sense from my right that someone wants to make some comments. Go ahead.
I just wanted to note that staff also kindly looked into the issue of who gets the revenue from bench advertising, and it's mostly TriMet, but as long as some government entity is getting the revenue, I'm more than satisfied.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for your good work.
Council calendar item 522 moves to a second reading next week. Carla, can you please read the title for second reading, council calendar item 523?
Accept a grant of $298,980 from Oregon Department of Transportation and Metro for the Southwest Capitol Highway, Multnomah, to Southwest Taylor's Ferry concept plan refinement.
Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I happened to visit with the Southwest Neighborhoods Board the day that this was first read last week, and they're very, very happy with this. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 523 is approved. Can you please read the titles for emergency ordinances 524 to 529?
524, amend contract with SAP Public Services, Inc., to provide additional consulting services for $1,250,000 for city human capital management implementation. 525, amend contract with Pacific Consulting Group, Inc., to provide additional quality assurance consulting services for $53,000 for city human capital management implementation. 526, amend contract with JKF Consulting, Inc., to provide additional consulting services for $80,000 for the city human capital management implementation. 527, amend contract with Mori Tech LLC to provide additional consulting services for $175,000 for city human capital management implementation. 528, amend contract with SAP Public Services, Inc. to clarify SAP software maintenance fees. And 529, amend contract with SAP Public Services, Inc. to provide additional software licenses for $246,458 for the city SAP Enterprise Resource Planning System software licenses and maintenance fees.
Okay, Jennifer.
Yes, good afternoon. Members of the council, Jennifer Sims, Chief Financial Officer and Enterprise Business Solution Project sponsor for the city. Quickly, I'll just go through these agenda items. I am pleased to report to you today that the EBS project is going well, and the extended go-live date is now allowing time for additional testing and training that's needed for successful implementation of the payroll and human resources modules for phase two. The following four agenda items that I'm going to speak to provide extensions of time and payment authorization for the consultants that are supporting the implementation. The total cost of the later go-live date will be covered by the current project budget, and no additional costs will be charged to the bureaus.
Could you say that again, please?
Yes, I know it's a happy news. The total cost of the later go-live date, the extension of 11 weeks from April 1 to June 18th, will be covered by the project's current budget with no additional costs to be charged to bureaus.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 524, extending the SAP Public Services contract by $1.25 million. This is the primary system implementation consultant, and it includes additional testing and deliverables. Do you want me to just keep going with them all?
Yes.
Okay. Number 525 extends the contract for Pacific Consulting Group for $53,000. This will provide quality assurance services during the extended go-live period, three additional monthly reports, and oversight. Number 526, extending JFK Consulting, is for data conversion assistance and the execution of our cutover plan. And number 527 extends the Maury Tech contract for technical expertise and programming support during the extended period. So those are all related to the extension, those four. The next two items after that, number 528 and 529, are related to software. Number 528 is clarifying software maintenance fees. In June 2006, the council approved the SAP software purchase, including maintenance. The approving ordinance did not include the cost for the maintenance, though it was clear that it was intended to be included in the contract, and fees have been budgeted and paid each year since then. Legal counsel has recommended that we bring this clarification for your consideration, and here's a really interesting point. The new system requires that we have this oversight cleared up. So as a result of our new system, we happened onto this need. So it provides for $248,000 annually through 2013, and this is not a new or added cost, but one that we already have contracted for and planned on. And the final action item in this package, number 529, amends the SAP software contract for additional software license for $246,458, which includes the purchase and 3 years of maintenance for SAP Interactive Forms by Adobe, which provides for efficient data entry in SAP, avoiding duplicate data entry. Funds are included for this in the project budget.
I had to step out. To use the restroom, did you talk about our establishment of an outside panel of experts?
I did not mention that.
And
I
that started. We ran these issues by them. Can you sort of give us a briefing on that?
Yes, I could just step back a second and remind everyone that in November of 2008, the city did successfully go live with phase one of this project. And the new system is already improving and supporting the city's financial management and business processes. For phase two, which we've been going through these extended contracts, also includes payroll and other human resources support functions. It was scheduled to go live on April 1st of this year. On March 12th, which we had set as our go-live decision date, the Executive Steering Committee, which provides oversight to the project, determined that it was necessary to delay the go-live by 11 weeks to June 18th. We also formed an independent citizen review panel that confirmed that that decision made sense, and they were convened and discussed this on March 17th. So all of these actions are in accordance with the recommendations and conclusions of these two bodies.
Commissioner Seltzman.
I just have one question about the Pacific Consulting Group, our yes. independent quality assurance consultants. I seem to recall reading in maybe last month's report that we were no longer going to ask them, I guess for budgetary reasons, to do a lessons learned report after this is all over with.
Yes, we.
I mean, that doesn't seem penny wise, pound foolish.
Could be. we discussed
monitor this process for us.
Yeah, we discussed that with them, and we do know or expect. I shouldn't say we know, but we would expect that the auditor's office will probably do an audit of this contract and effort, and part of the result of that will be the lessons learned. So we thought, as part of trying to keep the costs contained and anticipating that we will get the benefit of a review of the project at some point, that we could forgo that expense.
I guess, you know, with all due respect to the auditor's office, they haven't been living and breathing this project like the independent quality assurance consultant has for the last couple of years. And I just, if we're back here before June 10th, extending contracts again, I would want to revisit that. And I think, you know, frankly, I think we should revisit that and figure out a way to take advantage of the substantial expertise and insights they have provided and have a lessons learned report.
So the only pause I have there, and we had some of this discussion, was I think the lessons learned is vitally important. I'm a little concerned of having the quality consulting firm that we've relied on do the lessons learned. I think they should be a participant in it, but I think an outside, a totally outside this project sort of review of lessons learned is something that I'd be more interested in. The delay, Pacific Consulting Group has been with this project for how long?
5 years.
So part of the reason we are delayed is they were part of the team. That's not to say I have no judgment on whether they, you know, the delay is important. We don't want to push this like the Water Bureau billing system and have the whole thing crash and cost, you know, tens and tens of millions of dollars. We want to avoid that. So that's why we did the outside review. But I'd like to come back to Commissioner Saltzman's good point and make sure that we build in a truly outside review from a group that has not had involvement in this project until they do the review.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Any other discussion on council? Has anyone signed up to testify on these ordinances?
No one signed up.
Okay. Carla, will you please start calling the roll?
On 524, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 524 is approved.
525, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 525 is approved.
526, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 526 is approved.
527, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 527 is approved.
528, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 528 is approved.
529, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 529 is approved. Can you please read the title for council calendar item? Purchasing report 530.
Accept bid of Nutter Corporation for the Northwest Irving Street and I-405 sewer replacement project for $505,000.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell us what we have in front of us.
Christine Moody, Bureau Purchases. Before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 110115 for the Northwest Irving Street and I-405 sewer replacement project for the Bureau of Environmental Services to Nutter Corporation in the amount of $505,000. BES, along with purchases, identified 10 divisions of work for potential minority women and emerging small business participation The result on this contract is 56.5% MWSB subcontractor participation. And I will pause here if you have any questions about the solicitation process.
Questions from council.
Very, very good on the minority women ESB contracting.
Yes, thank you. I need a motion. Is anyone signed but to testify on item number 530?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the purchasing report contained in item 530. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Mm-hmm. Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
It's Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 530 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading of 531?
Extend contract with Environmental Systems Research Institute for $727,000 for an extension of geographic information system software maintenance and technical support.
Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. I want to take the pulse of council. I have to be across the street at 1:30. Could we do 5:36, 5:37? Commissioner Fritz says it'll take about 5 minutes. Just had people waiting, and then go from do your resolution on the police precincts, and then hold the others if we have to the afternoon 2 o'clock session.
So do the precinct reconfiguration before?
Correct.
2 o'clock?
Correct.
Okay.
So let's move to, Carla, can you please read the title for 536 and 537 together?
Mm-hmm. 536, accept report on the status of the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. 537, accept the 2007-08 State of the River Report.
Commissioner Fritz.
Well, thank you very much, and I'd like staff is coming up. I'm pleased to bring Council up to date on the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. As charged by Council and the Mayor, my office has been in discussion with community organizations, stakeholders, and various city bureaus that are currently involved in Columbia River and Willamette River projects and functions. We have a rich history surrounding these rivers. A lot of work has been done, and there is more to do. We believe we have an understanding of the ingredients necessary to make this a successful office. Been working with Commissioner Saltzman and Bureau Director of Environmental Services, Dean Marriott, and we have decided that the most efficient and logical location for the office is within the Bureau of Environmental Services. So this is a new project and a new way of doing business for the City of Portland that we've looked at the various different options that we could have for setting up the office and have decided that we can collaborate with another commissioner in another bureau and do it in a new and creative way. Our report is shortened to the point. It's not a work plan, and we'll have more later. So I'd like to ask my Chief of Staff, Tom Bezot, to give us a quick overview.
Good afternoon. Commissioners, Tom Bezot, Chief of Staff. On my left here is Patty Howard. She's the liaison to the office. And on my right here is Rick Bastach, who's been involved in the River Renaissance Program and will be the first employee of that office. We're going to keep this brief. You're pretty familiar with the River Renaissance Program that's been in place for some time now, and that River Renaissance Program basically forms the basis for the Office of the Healthy Working Rivers in terms of a lot of the things that were defined by that program. So it defined the what of the river, what was important in that river in terms of economic prosperity, in terms of partnerships, in terms of awareness of the river, in terms of the health of the river, and in terms of the waterfront itself. And so what this office is going to do is basically put forward the how. How are we going to actually get into the projects that are important for this river? So it's going to try to get to the tangible physical reality of what needs to occur on the river, and that's the primary function of this office. So we're going to springboard off of the River Renaissance that we got, all the information that we got out of that. We're going to use that. We're going to continue the awareness piece of that because that's a function that has to continue in terms of our communication with the city, with city bureaus, with agencies, with everyone involved. The report itself is real short and brief, and it basically provides background on a lot of the history. It only just basically grazes the surface of that history. And then it gets into some of the city-related programs that are on the river itself. You know, it talks about some of the investments that we've done in terms of ecological functions, ecological restoration projects, some investments in terms of urban development alongside the river. The report also emphasizes how the office is going to act on the opportunities that are inherent in the river. They're inherent in a lot of the programs that have already been established to actually create jobs, to restore the river, to look at the recreational aspects of the river, and to continue those aspects of development that need to occur along the river in a ecological and also job creation fashion. So one thing that we're going to really take a look at is the connections that need to occur between the different programs, and that's something that we've found to be very important in terms of what exists now and what needs to continue to exist in the future. And there's a lot of different agencies, a lot of different players in this, and the office needs to basically act as a hub in that whole connection of information and then putting together the projects that actually do something on the ground. The report also emphasizes the need to basically work with the restoration of the river in conjunction with jobs, and we don't think those are mutually exclusive goals, and we believe that they can be worked with together, and we can actually make them actually enhance each other. Some other points that I'd just like to make is this office has been created to have a commissioner in charge, and part of that reason is to basically have a direct link to you so that we can have a conversation about the things that matter and make sure that things get done in an effective manner. We're also going to try and convene all of those bureaus that are involved in river-related projects through your help, and have that discussion about what's going to work on these projects and make sure that that communication continues. The office is planned to have 6 staff right now. That is the plan, and it's budget dependent, but it's going to be physically housed in the Bureau of Environmental Services, and we felt that that was going to be a very good location. We've had discussions with Commissioner Saltzman and with the director, Dean Marriott, in that regard. And we also are really excited to work with the Bureau of Environmental Services staff, who obviously have a lot of experience in river-related projects.
Thanks, Tom. I'm going to, in the interest of time, I want to move to Rick Bastach, who has done such a good job in the Bureau of Planning previously on River Renaissance, and now is going to be working in our office. And so a very brief summary of the River Report for 2008. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Commissioners, I'm here to present to you the 2007-2008 State of the River Report. Many of you may recall that by ordinance, we are required to submit a yearly report to Council and to have developed that report in collaboration with what is now 7 bureaus, Environmental Services, Parks, Planning and Sustainability, Transportation Development Services, the Portland Development Commission, and Water. We're very thankful to the staff of those bureaus for contributing to the report and making it what we hope it is, which is a good snapshot of what's going on along the river in Portland. This is the fourth produced since 2005. This particular report describes over 30 river-related accomplishments and key actions, measures impacts using over 20 progress indicators, sets forth a future agenda of 17 actions and profiles a number of river efforts by upstream communities. I'd encourage everyone to take a look at it if they haven't yet, to understand that what I'm going to say now is about a sampling of the accomplishments and key actions, which includes the initiation of the Greater Green Program, an accelerated approach to implementing Portland's Watershed Management Plan, very key to improving the water quality of the Willamette and Columbia. The Portland area's natural system grew by the addition of a portion of Ross Island. The River Plan's North Reach initial recommendations were completed. the design for Centennial Mills, an important riverfront redevelopment initiative, was completed, and the city held its first Riverfest, which drew 4,000 people to the river. Hopefully we'll do better than that this coming August.
And we had a triathlon.
And a triathlon.
In downtown Portland.
Indeed, and that is something configured to be part of Riverfest again, and we're happy to partner with it. Progress measures, just a sampling. Water quality trends in general show significant improvements, especially in the city's Willamette and Columbia Slough watersheds. Salmon are returning to restored habitats, including in the Columbia Slough, Miller Creek, and Johnson Creek. Over a mile of stream bank along the Willamette and its tributaries were restored during the reporting period. And the number of Portlanders living in close proximity to the river continues to grow, up 3% since the year 2000.
Are there we have to move you along. I apologize. Any questions from council?
Just a comment. Tom, I think this is your official debut presenting to council on behalf of our newest commissioner.
On behalf of our newest commissioner, yes.
Great job. Second, we have a number of dogs in this fight. We've got, as Parks Commissioner, I'm working on Ross Island, and we look forward to partnering with you on everything from the no-wake zone to other initiatives to help restore the habitat. We also have a number of parks, as you know, that abut the rivers, two rivers, in fact. We look forward to working out some important issues on habitat restoration and our piece of the solution. So, and thank you for your good work.
I look forward to that, too.
Has anyone signed up to testify?
I did not. I'm sorry. I did. Pat Wagner.
Pat, please come forward. Thank you for your presentation. Ms. Wagner, welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Pat Wagner, 12941 Northwest Newberry Road. The river is close to the heart of everyone in Portland. It pretty much supplies the lifeblood of jobs, you know, recreation, and hopefully someday transportation. Taking responsibility for this river could be an overwhelming task. And Linton, the live-work community of Linton, and we look down on the river every day and see it, is grateful that Amanda Fritz is up to the challenge. We are confident she will do a great job, and we hope that someday, when we get up, we will be able to walk down and touch the river. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and for all your great advocacy for Linton. All right. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
So this is
536. Sorry.
536, accepting the report?
Correct.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say that our newest commissioner is off to a very auspicious start with this and other assignments. And my standard line now, communities, when they refer to me as the newest commissioner, I say, no, I'm actually, Amanda's the newest. I'm the fourth most senior. But I'm delighted to support your good work. And your success depends on an unprecedented level of cooperation with other bureaus if we're going to get this thing right. And what I've learned as we've looked at other reorgs in the last number of months is that even when we create new bureaus or merge entities or do fundamental restructuring, that the simple fact remains that the success of that new entity depends on unprecedented levels of cooperation. And I like to call that sort of the Portland way, different bureaus working together for a common goal, and ultimately with the sense that we are serving people. And people who have interest in these issues. So it's a good report, and I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Mayor Adams, I think, for conceiving of the Office of Healthy and Working Rivers, and then Commissioner Fritz for sort of taking the clay and molding it into a tangible office here. And having a commissioner in charge, I think Mayor Adams' whole intent is to elevate concerns about the river through a commissioner in charge. And I think he's picked a good commissioner in charge, and Commissioner Fritz, and as commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services, I pledge the Bureau's full support in making this a successful office that will really elevate issues of concern around preserving and our rivers and the adjacent waterfront environments. So I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you very much, and thank you to Commissioner Saltzman, who's been so helpful, to Mayor Adams, who set this up and who's also been very supportive, and to Commissioner Fish, who will be one of our key partners with the Parks Bureau. And thank you to my staff, to Tom Bazo, my chief of staff, Patty Howard, who's been working on this tirelessly for the entire 4 months that we've been here, and for Rick Bastach, who's been working on this for many years and has been very helpful in teaching us what's going on. And thank you to the folks from Linton who came this morning and have sat through this long morning and afternoon now of testimony, and I didn't ask you to come, right? So it was entirely spontaneous that you were willing to come and to give your support. And we have so many citizens and landowners and business owners who are concerned about the healthy working rivers, and I'm excited about this project. Aye.
Adams.
Well, this takes a special kind of leadership style to make work, because this is simultaneously hand-holding, charming, cajoling, and a heck of a lot of integration. Our problem is not that we lack efforts on the river, is that we lack integration, coordination, and direction, and getting stuff done. And I conceived of this office with Commissioner Fritz in mind, because I think she brings all of those leadership qualities and many more to the effort. So I'm really pleased with your efforts to get this launched, and to the team that you've selected, and to all the partnerships that you've created. Thank you very much. Aye. 536 is approved. 537.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
And again, thank you for all the good folks in the Bureau of Planning who've worked on river issues for many years. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 533 is returned to Commissioner Saltzman's office unless there's objection. 532, 534 will be read and considered as first items on the 2 o'clock session this afternoon, and that leaves us with 535, resolution. Commissioner Saltzman.
535, authorize the Portland Police Bureau to reorganize the current precinct structure from 5 to 3 precincts while continuing Portland's dedication to community policing principles and ensuring officer safety.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. This resolution is being brought forward to give the Portland Police Bureau the authority to begin the restructuring process, moving from 5 to 3 precincts. Since the move from 5 to 3 precincts will not happen overnight, it is necessary for the restructuring process to start soon in order to start to ensure that the transition is complete by July 1st of this year, and to realize cost savings for the entire 2009-2010 fiscal year. So to provide greater detail, I want to have Chief Sizer, Assistant Chief Martinick, and Lieutenant Hannum is here also, I guess, if there's really tough questions. Turn it over to the Chief.
Good afternoon, and thank you for doing this today. We are very pleased to be given a nod in terms of our restructuring in advance of the City Council's vote on the budget in the end of May. In order to realize the total savings that we need for the next fiscal year, we need to begin the move process in June. In order to begin the move process in June, we have to also integrate with the SAP program go live. And so it's a matter of quite careful timing, and this resolution is very welcomed by my organization, and also allows us to kind of move forward and not prolong the uncertainty of the budget process. I'll be very brief because you've heard it more than once. We will be returning to this structure, a three-precinct structure that we have had most of the history of the Portland Police Bureau. The precincts will be located at the Justice Center, at MLK and Emerson, and at 106th and Stark. We will be using the other two current precincts, Southeast Precinct at 47 and Burnside, as the site of our traffic division, which has citywide responsibilities. We will be using the North Precinct facility as the site of our combined training facility. We will maintain contact offices in those buildings. We are unswerving in our dedication to working with the community on problems throughout the city without influence of a restructuring. So we're very committed to that. And we're committed to saving money for the city in a cut environment